In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
All right, hour number three is upon us. John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes. John Zmarek is in the middle of a project at the moment, he said. So we apologize. John's normally with us, but he is in project mode.
Hard-working man.
Well, election, you know, just around the corner. Makes sense. So Dan just sent us this, by the way. The city of Denver today closed all bars that don't serve food, and restaurants are limited to 25% capacity. I had a Denver bar manager in my car today as I received the news. She doesn't think they'll make it past this one. They only have a bar only. Been around since the 1950s, Dan said. Really sad. Yeah, Dan, it is really. It's sad, and here's the thing. This is avoidable. That doesn't have to be this way, folks. This is being done by a overreaching government that is not looking at the science, despite what they will tell you. They will all say that they are, but the reality is, no, they are not. They are looking at a particular part of science that their quote-unquote experts are shoving down their throats that they have been wrong on from day one, because the same person, people, I should say, that are telling them that they need to do this because of where we're at today with COVID are the same exact people that said 4 million people in the United States would be dead today. They've been wrong from the beginning, and they're still wrong.
Yeah, and if you want somebody who was wrong from the beginning, how about the guys who were creating the models for Polis to use?
Those are the guys I'm talking about. They've been wrong from day one. They're the ones that said 4 million people would die.
Oh, I thought he was just using off of
From Denver Health, or our Colorado Health guy.
Okay.
I can't remember his name. I could go look it up.
Because there was a national, there was a national guy who said the same thing. They probably were using off the same.
So nationally,
study.
You know, Fauci and some of those guys said 2 million.
Right.
Our guy said 4. He doubled it.
Twice as nuts.
That's the guy that's still driving some of these decisions that are running what's going on in Denver and Colorado.
Yeah.
Same guy.
Yeah, John. These businesses have already been taking it on the chin for all these months when it was supposed to be a couple months at the most, and they are dying. They are dying on the vine, and now we're going to tell them, hey, you can only seat a quarter of your restaurant? I mean, that's insane. That's absolutely insane. They're gone. And I think they are in the position now, John, where it is simply this. I either buck this order, I either disobey or I'm out of business. At that point, you know, I never call, you know me, I'm a rule follower. Even when they are liberal rules, I'm one of those who always says, hey, follow the law, stay out of trouble. But my goodness, they're going to go out of business if they follow this. They're going out of business.
So as a business owner, what would you do? How would you handle that?
Okay, hope I don't get in trouble for this.
Go ahead.
I would disobey. At this point, I would just say, okay, if I do that, I am out of business. So you're going to have to just close me down. And I would, as people come in, I'd just let them come in and I'd seat them and feed them. And that's what I would do. And I would keep bringing in my employees and we would serve people. But more importantly, John, I would call as many other businesses as I could. Right now, folks, call each other and see how many I could get to agree to do this.
I think to your point, your last point there, there would need to be some collaboration between some other businesses, because if you're the Lone Ranger,
right,
you're going to get shut down. They're just going to come right along and you're done. You're going to be closed up.
But John,
let me ask you,
would you be the Lone Ranger right now after all these months going back to 25%? Would you be the Lone Ranger? I mean, these people are desperate.
The problem with being the Lone Ranger, and if they know you're the Lone Ranger, they will pick you apart and clean you like a really good baby back rib.
No, I told. By the way, I love baby back ribs.
You will be picked apart.
No, of course, of course. But what I mean is this: do you think, with all these restaurants being as just desperate as they are, that you would be the Lone Ranger, or do you think a lot of them would join you?
Therein lies the million-dollar question.
Because if you have you've got several restaurant rows downtown, you know where they are.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Yep.
If they call around and they agree, hey, we're just going to open. Okay, we're just going to stay open. You know, nothing crazy. We're just going to keep doing it how we've been doing it. And that's it. And if they close us down, they close us down. If they all agree, there's no way the city could close them all down.
No, that's where you know, having that strength in numbers, you'd have to have, and by the way, not just strength of numbers of restaurants and bars, but in this case, any business that's been affected
right.
that feels like they need to be closed up, you'd literally need to have, you know, hundreds and if not thousands of these places, you know, restaurants and things open back up and running again to be able to fend these guys off.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, Mr. Business Owner, Mr. Business Coach. You know how every time they put these things in, it takes forever for them to go away and to loosen up, right?
Yes.
And you know how they have already said, we're doing this because we're coming into the season where this is going to spread more and more people are going to get it. We're also coming into the holiday shopping season.
Yes, we are.
Okay. And think about, you know, I like to go to Park Meadows Mall, and they've got a really beautiful food court there. Think about that food court going into the holidays only having a quarter of the seating. What that does for all those restaurants and what that does for all of the shops at Park Meadows who depend on customers eating in that food court, which they do. You tell me, what's going to happen to these people?
They can't survive.
Right.
They can't survive, period. You know that as well as I do. They can't make it. They're not going to make it. They're done.
Exactly. They're
done. Kevin's going to join us now from Broomfield. Kevin, you're up. What's going on, Kevin?
Yeah, I just wanted to, it reminded me of the old saying way back in our founding days, we either hang together or we hang separately.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And the problem that, you know, that I see that particular end of things has, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe I'm looking at this totally the wrong way, but typically, and I've said this before, so I'll say it again, typically restaurants and bars are owned and led by liberals. That's typically who owns them. I don't know why. It's just sort of this gravitational pull. Yes, I know there's some conservatives that are in that world. I'm not labeling everyone that owns a bar or restaurant a liberal. But by and large, that industry is typically in that particular neck of the woods. Unfortunately, Kevin and Andy, getting those guys all on the same page, given the fact they're all a bunch of liberals, and you're going to try to now get them to disobey the orders that are coming down from their governor, fat chance.
It is tough.
Sorry, I'm being honest, guys.
Well, their governor and their mayor.
And their mayor, yeah. And so the reality is, and even though it's their own kind shutting them down, these guys have bought hook, line, and sinker the leftist agenda, and I think they're willing to give up their business for it, unfortunately.
Well, they've got nobody to blame but themselves. So,
well put. Yeah, no, you're exactly right.
Got to go. Thanks for the show.
You're very welcome, Kevin. Thank you very much. And to his point, yes, there are strength in numbers. And yes, people do need to stick together. Unfortunately, this is one of those areas where I don't know that they can because of their agenda.
John, they could afford to do it initially back in June or May or June or whatever for a short period of time because they had only been shut down temporarily. And because that was at the peak of the big government money being sent out in cheap, you know, loans that you don't even have to pay back. And, you know, that all goes. Mm-hmm. That was during that time. We're past that, John. Those loans aren't happening. And by the way, if Pelosi gets her way, they never will. Those loans aren't happening to cover their costs. And they've been losing money for 6 to 8 months. They can't do it, John. They can't do it. And they're going to go out of business. And I'll tell you what. I think it's going to make a number of liberals conservative real quick.
Question is, will it make them liberal or will it make them conservative quickly enough to win this upcoming election and or to recall Polis? Because that's the other thing. By the way, that's the other thing going on. I was reminded of that in a text message. There is a recall Polis effort going on. There's a few days left to get your name on a petition to make that happen. And it's dethronepolis.com. That's the website, dethronepolis.com.
I signed it.
I signed it as well, and I would hope a lot of you have. And I am not in the least bit ashamed that I signed that. I am very happy that I did, by the way.
I'm looking at Colorado right now, and I'm looking at the destruction which is going to come down on businesses here. And what I would like us to do, John, is track what happens over the next couple months versus what happens in, say, South Dakota.
Oh, you want me to give you a precursor?
Go ahead.
South Dakota booms, and if these continued restrictions, you know, are happening here in Colorado on a continual basis, even through the end of the year, you could kiss. Well, Denver Post yesterday came out and said there will be. I've got the article in front of me. 33,000 jobs potentially could be lost. That's coming from the payroll company Gusto. They're predicting more than 33,000 jobs that we could lose in the restaurant and retail jobs in Denver. They're calling it the Game of Thrones winter if we don't change some of these restrictions.
So they're saying the restrictions will kill it. They're not blaming COVID like a lot of leftists do.
They're not saying what I'm saying exactly. They're claiming without more aid, there'll be 33,000 jobs lost.
So what I'm saying without us robbing more money from our kids.
Right. So what I'm saying is, if we continue these restrictions and no aid comes, which frankly I don't think they need aid, what they need is to open up.
Right.
If they were allowed to open up, they wouldn't need the aid and 33,000 jobs wouldn't be lost. So I'm reporting this a little differently than the Denver Post is because I'm taking the correct slant on it. They're not. They're taking the I want more free cash slant. That's not how this works, folks. More free cash doesn't fix anything.
No, all it does is you have to print more of it, and now it's worth less.
And then our grandkids have to pick up the tab.
Exactly.
So, all right, Barber's Foods is coming up next. By the way, speaking of the restaurant world, and one of the things that you can do, which by the way, you're going to have less and less, if this continues on, as we just mentioned a moment ago, you're going to have less places to go out and eat. So you know what? Stock up. Get yourself ready to go for the Thanksgiving season, for the Christmas season. You can do that at Barber's Foods. They have got everything you need when it comes to the protein end of things. So whether it's turkey, whether it's pork, whether it's chicken, bison, beef. I talked about the ribs a little bit ago. Whatever it happens to be. And don't forget salmon. They've got the salmon that has just come in that has been freshly caught in Alaska in the last few weeks. You can actually get all of that at Barber's Foods, and that's Barber's with an S, barbersfoods.com. And don't forget 2 free pounds of Wagyu beef with every order. Just use beef at checkout. Again, barbersfoods.com.
Barber's Foods has been feeding Colorado families the highest quality protein since 1949, sourced from farm, ranch, and fishing families that they know personally. In September and October, Barber's Foods is proud to offer your family wild-caught Alaskan sockeye fillets, caught by their own fishermen who personally catch the salmon in the Bristol Bay of Alaska in a boat that they own and operate. Go to barbersfoods.com to pre-order your Alaskan salmon fillets. And while you're there, check out the Morgan Ranch Wagyu, Colorado-sourced USDA choice beef and bison, Beeler's non-GMO gestation crate-free Duroc pork, and Pittman Farms family air-chilled chicken products. Stock up now and save 5% off your entire order with the code SAVE5. You care where your food comes from. So buy your proteins from Barber's Foods, 100% Colorado native owned. Barber'sFoods.com.
Flesh and Beck is up next, folks. If you've been involved in any kind of an accident, some of these fire things we've got going on where you might need some representation, you name it, Kevin is your guy. It's Kevin Flesh at FleshLawFirm.com, FLESCH, FleshLawFirm.com, 303-806-8886. Call him today, tell him you heard him on Rush to Reason.
KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law.
So you're required now to wear a mask.
Yes.
So you go to the restaurant, says wear the mask, so you wear the mask. You enter in, though, and now you got to fill out this form. It's all this contact tracing stuff.
Yes.
What's legal, what's not, what should you do, what shouldn't you do?
I would put down all the wrong information.
So you would go eat dinner there and just fill it out incorrectly?
Yep, I did it last night. They asked me for my cell phone number and I gave them the wrong number. So you have every right not to. Or you have every right to give them the information that isn't accurate.
If you've never been in before, they're asking you for the info, it's the first time you've been in, just give them the wrong info.
Right.
I'm Bill Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not applying for a mortgage,
no,
I'm getting a burger.
Exactly. That's exactly right. That's why I was there to meet a potential new client. I had some chips and salt. And water. I don't think I need to. I have contact tracing with my chilies.
It's not that big a deal.
Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, Common Sense Legal Advice, 303-806-8886, 303-806-8886.
All right, Gino's Auto Service, that's Gino's with a J. And hey, we just had a storm. We'll have more of those. How many? You know what? I can't tell you, but it's Colorado. It does get cold. It does snow here. What kind of winter are we going to have? You know what? No matter what anybody says, they don't know. Just be prepared. Have your car ready to go no matter what. 303-794-6700. It's ginosautoservice.com.
For over 37 years, Gino's has been your go-to auto service shop in Littleton for all of your car repair and maintenance needs. This month, take advantage of Gino's engine and cabin air filter special and receive a NAPA $20 gift card. Do you want to breathe better air in your vehicle? Your cabin air filter helps to remove pollen, dust, smoke, and pollutants from the air inside your car. It's recommended to change your cabin air filter once a year in Colorado. Your engine air filter prevents dust, dirt, and contaminants from your engine. With any service, we'll do a free battery check to get you safely back on the road. Gino's continues to service Larry's Automotive customers, honoring warranty work you may have had done. Gino's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off for service and pick up when ready. Gino's is a Colorado Select member and conveniently located at Bowles and Platte Canyon. Check out Gino's Google reviews or call us with any questions. Visit Gino's online at ginosautoservice.com.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. I apologize. I was trying to do some things and talk at the same time, which for those of you that have never tried that, you should try that sometime. You should actually be on air and try to research something at the same time and talk and sound cohesive at the same time.
John, I never think when I talk.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't want to do that.
So I did find, through the break,
right?
I just sent this to Andy as well, the person that's in charge of Colorado's health, that is really Polis's top advisor and probably has some input into what's happening with the city of Denver and some of these other agencies that we've been talking about, is Jonathan, I don't know how you say his last name, it's S-A-M-E-T, Samet, Samet, Somet, Sam, I have no idea how you pronounce it.
We'll say Samet.
I really don't care. But he is in charge of the Department of Environmental and Occupational Health at Colorado School of Public Health. He is the Office of Dean and the Department of Epidemiology. He is the guy that from the get-go said COVID would kill 4 million people in the United States of America. He has literally shut down Colorado. He is, in my opinion, he is Jared Polis's top advisor when it comes to COVID. And he has been wrong ever since we started this whole COVID nonsense. And let me say COVID nonsense. Our response to COVID in a lot of cases has been nonsense. I don't want to say that COVID is nonsense. COVID has taken some lives. I understand that. I am not demeaning any of those lives any way, shape, or form. I realize that it is something that you need to be careful with, depending upon who you are and whether you have any comorbidity. I understand. I've got some friends that are actually in the hospital right now from COVID. It doesn't mean I'm going to come on air and change my opinion because somebody I know has COVID. That's not how this works, folks.
No, the numbers are
what they
are. By and
large, the numbers are still the numbers. They don't change.
Yeah.
That's
Look,
the key.
Here, what we are dealing with right now is a flu. It's not exactly, they're not the same. I understand. I'm just talking in terms of impact, okay?
Right.
It's basically a flu for which we have no vaccine yet.
Right.
The flu with a vaccine every year is still killing 40,000 to 60,000 people.
And real quick, by the way, Dr. Samet, however you say his last name, just as a side note, just going to say it as it is. I'm not belittling the guy. I'm not talking down to him. I'm just going to tell you straight up how it is. He's never had a real job.
Not much of one. It seems like he's an advisor here. He teaches there. He teaches another place.
I don't know that he's ever had his own practice.
He's part of lawsuits.
Yes.
Big into lawsuits.
Yes.
This guy has done virtually nothing, and he's controlling our entire lives. This gets right back to what we were talking about earlier, why we don't want the courts to be all-powerful. This guy is all-powerful, and I never cast a vote.
That's right. But he is now controlling your life in Colorado to a very large extent.
And he's ruining it, John.
Yes, he is. He is ruining retail. He is ruining the restaurant community in this state. He's ruining the bar community in this state. I was going to tell you guys, I went to the mall this past Saturday, and man alive, what a depressing experience that was.
Yeah, tell me about this.
Okay, so I walk in. Of course, I got my mask and everything on. The reason I went is I've got a new iPhone that's showing up into this week. And I thought, well, I'll be proactive and get my case and everything on the front side. So I walk in, and I go through Dick's Sporting Goods and in Flatirons Mall up in the Broomfield area. You go from Dick's right across the hall is Apple Store.
Okay.
So I'm just going to go. I'm an Apple geek. I'm like, I'm just going to go and check some things out. I'm that guy. I'm that early adopter guy that spends money at Apple.
Right. You spend a lot up front, so people
so the rest
like
of you
spend...
don't have to, by the way.
That's right.
Just who I am.
Thank
so,
you, by the way.
I thought I would, you know, go. So I go up, and there's the movie theater line. You know what I mean? The little rope things.
Yeah, yeah.
The you know, the elastic thing, whatever they are.
Right.
The ratchety things.
Right.
With the little zigzag line thing. And I'm like, I'm looking.
Stanchions.
And there's nobody there. Stanchions. There's nobody there. And I'm like, there's just a little blue-shirted gal from the Genius, you know, the not the Genius bar, but the Apple person, the, you know, retail person.
Right.
With the blue shirt. And I'm thinking, there's nobody in line. And I look in the store, and it's not packed by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, there's a few people, but it's not jammed like typically the Apple store would be. And I get it. They're not going to let it be jammed because of COVID and all that. I understand, okay? But I walk up, and I'm like, hey, can I go in and buy a case? No, do you have an appointment? I said, appointment for what? I said, I'm going to go buy a case. I don't need help with anything. I know what I want. I've got the app even. I can go pick it up off the shelf, buy it, and leave, and nobody even has to help me. Oh, no, you can't do that. I'm like, why? Well, you have to have an appointment. You have to have somebody helping you. I'm like, no, I don't need
I'm
anybody
not getting
to
a new,
help me.
I'm not getting a new contract yeah. here.
I said, I'm just
grabbing
want to,
a piece of plastic.
So I just want to walk in, buy something, and leave. Well, you can walk around and look, but you won't be able to buy anything until somebody helps you, which will be 20 or 30 minutes. And I said, so what you're telling me is you don't want to sell me anything today. Because I said, I'm not waiting 30 minutes to buy something I know I need and I know I want. Well, so I'm sorry. And I realize she's just the messenger, and I'm not trying to shoot the messenger and be that guy.
No,
and all
but
that,
the but... messenger has to be able to feel some of your heat so that they can express that back to their bosses.
And I said, this is ridiculous. So I said, I'm going to go upstairs to the Verizon store and buy what I need up there. So guess what I did? I walked upstairs, went to the Verizon store. There was one guy in there, two guys at the counter. I walked up and said, can you guys sell me a case? Yeah, we got a bunch over here. Let me go help you out. I'm like, great. I said, do I need to, like, do anything special, or is there any COVID things you guys are doing? Like, no, just, you know, as long as you got your mask on, which I know you you just have to wear it. But other than that, no, well, what do you want to buy? I'll sell it to you. I'm like, thank you, guys. You got my business. Done deal. And, of course, I'm a Verizon business customer, so I get a discount. Probably the best choice to go do anything. I probably bought it cheaper there anyways. But long story short, Apple lost a sale because of their stupid COVID policies they've got right now.
Yeah, and by the way, have you noticed the disparity in some stores where they have a similar product, and you'll go into one, and it's this dystopian hell.
Yeah.
Where they're tracking you, and you feel yep. like you're being watched yep. every second, and you go into another, and it's live and let live.
That's right. Wade in Littleton, you're next, sir. Hello, Wade.
Hey, Wade.
Oh, hey, I'm sorry, I did hear my name.
You're all right.
Hey, I have an issue kind of with what you were saying. You were talking about the models predicting 2 to 4 million deaths.
Correct.
And that was nationwide.
Correct.
I believe. And
that was including also expecting to put in some various safeguards. That wasn't just saying if we did nothing. It's
That wasn't just out of the box, you know, do nothing, well, we lose 4 million people.
That was exactly my contention, is that was with minimum changes to our behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
As far as I understand.
That was with light safeguards.
So then what
and
we did
actually,
was...
I believe it was with no safeguards, but
I agree to disagree. Okay.
Okay, regardless, we went ahead, did the 14 days, you know, slow the spread. I was on air, talked about all that. We did just that. 14 turned to 30. Finally, the White House said, you know what, we got to get back to some normalcy here. You know, the cure can't be worse than the cause. They encouraged some of the states to open back up. Some did, some didn't. And the reality, Wade, is even as states... you know, open back up, the reality is we haven't come nowhere close to even a 2 million mark. Hasn't happened.
Right, and if I may.
But that is because of the safeguards that were put in place.
Doubtful. Doubtful, Wade, and here's why. If you look at the states that have had the heaviest mask restrictions and spacing
and shutdowns so
forth,
and so on.
And shutdowns and so forth, those states have actually had a higher death count with COVID. Much higher
percentage to their population.
Right. I'm sure, Wade, you would agree that on average, Democrat states have been much more locked down than Republican states. That's obvious. And Democrat states have about 60% of the COVID deaths, which is 50% higher than the Republican states per million. Okay. So, I mean, if you look at, for instance, Colorado, which actually has a very low COVID death count for the blue states, as the blue states go. And Colorado still has a higher death count per million than, say, South Dakota, which has done virtually none of the safeguards
right.
that you think are saving us. So how do you rectify that?
Well, first, I would say, so Colorado, we have, what is it now, a little over 2,000 deaths and like 96,000 cases last time I checked.
Thereabouts.
So that's actually a pretty, that's a pretty bad death rate.
Out of 5.5 million people to lose 2,200 people? No, wait, it's not.
For something for which there is no vaccine.
And if you look at the amount of deaths where they're over the age of 80, Wade, which is over 50% of those numbers, so you basically can take that number down to half of that and then add the comorbidity into that on top of it, which our own CDC will tell you is 94% of the people that died had comorbidity. How is that a bad number?
2,000 Coloradans dying, I would say, is a bad number.
If they've already got, Wade, and I'm not trying to be
disrespectful. Wade, you just ignored everything he said.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful, Wade, but if they've got 1 foot in the grave already, they've got at least 2.5 comorbidities, and they pass away from COVID, and we only have 1,000 other deaths, and I'm being generous when I say the 1,000, because in Colorado, it's probably less than that. And I admit, I don't want anyone ever, Wade, to die, period. But you know what? We're all going to at some point in time. And we all know when we get up into those 80s, 85, 90 age group, our chances of dying on any given day are really, really, really high. Tell me how the number's still a bad number, Wade.
Yeah. And let me back up a second. John, I love your show. I listen to you every day. I don't agree with a lot of stuff you say. But
no, and I appreciate you calling, Wade. I'm trying to educate you and others, you know, think this is really bad, because it's not.
I wanted to ask you these specific questions. So I had this argument with a friend the other day. The comorbidity, yes, I understand that, like, something like over 90% of people that are dying from this, it's claimed that it's comorbidity.
It's about 92 to 94%.
And by the way, it's not a claim. It's factual data. They've got other problems, which is leading to their death besides COVID.
Yeah, and by the way, Wade, we'll give you time here, but keep in mind also the average age of death with COVID is the same as the average lifespan for an American. Okay,
right.
So this is taking people who are near the end, and it's pushing them over. And that doesn't mean that we don't care about a death. It means that we put it in perspective, and maybe, just maybe, we shouldn't shut down all of the human race and call something a plague when the plague wiped out a third of Europe, and this has only taken far less than 0.1% of Americans, and that's with an expanded definition of what a COVID death is. Is that fair?
That is fair. And actually, I think I actually agree with you completely. I would like to say that the comorbidity deaths, still at the end of the day, that death wouldn't have happened without COVID.
Not arguing that. What we don't know, Wade, is maybe...
Yeah, we don't know that necessarily.
No, what I'm saying is maybe... Maybe not. We don't keep in mind some of these people were already in the hospital or they were already in a nursing home, on their way there, Wade. And again, I don't want anyone to die. But the point being is, did COVID speed things up by a month, 6 months, 2 months, 6 weeks, 6 days? Those are the things we don't know. But what we do know is at least half of that number in Colorado by the end of this year probably would have been dead anyways.
Yes, no, that's a very good point, and I agree with you completely.
That's all I'm saying. And what I'm saying is, as a business owner myself, and somebody that I know, I see the individuals that are affected by our lack of economic fortitude in this state because of these shutdowns, and now going backwards and having 25% capacity in a restaurant, Wade, the damage of that is going to be far worse than what COVID will ever rain on us.
Oh, I agree with you completely on that.
And
yes,
Wade, let me ask you a quick question here. Let's say, okay.
Sure.
We're going to take a break,
so hurry.
Okay. We say there are usually about 2.5, 3 comorbidities. Let's say they are advanced age, obesity, and immune deficiency. Okay. And you say, well, they would not have died without COVID. Okay, that's fair. But couldn't we also say they would not have died without obesity? They would not have died without advanced age. Aren't they all equally the cause rather than just pinning it on one and saying we have 225,000 American COVID deaths?
Yeah, well said. Wade, I got to run. I really appreciate you. By the way, thanks for calling in, and I really love the fact you listen. Liz Mayer is going to join us in a minute. Don't go anywhere. Enchanted Kitchens is next. Make that kitchen enchanted. Call them today by going to klzradio.com.
The Enchanted Kitchens Experience Center feels like home, only better. The design process at Enchanted Kitchens always begins in their award-winning showroom because their team believes you need to see, touch, and feel your new kitchen ahead of time. Built to look like a nicer version of your own home with an open floor plan, the Experience Center allows you to visualize a kitchen that works. Standing inside a true-to-life example of a functional kitchen, you can start to imagine how much more you'll enjoy your new space, solidifying your vision for your home. Then, the Enchanted Kitchens design team will bring samples into your home to help truly picture your new kitchen and discuss the design based on your budget and style. Visit the Enchanted Kitchens Experience Center and feel at home, only better. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/kitchens and schedule a free design consultation at the Enchanted Kitchens Experience Center, where magic meets design.
Affordable Interest Mortgage, Kirk can help you with that Enchanted Kitchen, how to get it paid for. It's easy. Call 720-895-0500, and when you do, tell him you heard him on Rush to Reason.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Hi, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie, and Liz Mayer joining us now. Liz, how are you? Sorry for the delay. We got off on the COVID
There
we are.
It was an interesting discussion, particularly being somebody who lives in one of the states that is a blue state that was hit really hard straight out of the gate. But I think actually has managed to get a good handle on it, to be perfectly honest.
And we, on the other hand, Liz, frankly, we've had a pretty good handle on it all the way through. You just heard me talk about where our death rate is here in Colorado. And now we're going backwards because some of our cases have risen. Our hospital rate hasn't gone up all that much. Our death rate has literally gone down to almost zero. But now we're going to shut everything back down again.
Yeah, I think people do have to be careful about this. I would say for folks who are interested in this, though, take a look at what has been happening here in Connecticut. I rarely am going to point to Connecticut as an example of anything that should be replicated. But actually, I do feel like we've got a pretty good handle on things here, and we've got things pretty open, to be honest with you. The situation you were describing with regard to restaurants, yet, obviously, capacity is reduced, but, a lot of the restaurants here seem to be handling this in a really good way that's enabling them to keep capacity at sort of a maximum, but also ensuring that there is distance and there are physical barriers.
Yeah, what we've got going on here in Colorado, real quick along those lines, Liz, is we're not even allowing the restaurants to make those decisions on their own and make sure that they've got distancing. So what I mean by that is, let's say it's a bigger restaurant, mm-hmm. they've got a lot more floor capacity, maybe some banquet rooms that they can actually switch around and so on. We're still limiting and telling that restaurant, you've got to be at a 25% capacity overall, which for a lot of these businesses, Liz, they can't make it at 25%.
Well, with restaurants in particular, restaurants are very, very slim margin businesses at the best of times, right? I mean, the number of people who love cooking and think it would be great to open a restaurant and they never actually do it is because those margins are so small. It's tricky anyway. But, I was just thinking when you were going through the last segment, last night my family went out for dinner to one of our favorite Italian places in town, and because they have booths, they've literally just put plexiglass in between the booths.
Thank you. So it was my idea from the get-go.
Yeah, well, so they can have all the booths full. Yeah.
Andy,
right?
And I were and I were literally talking about that when COVID first started. The best way to get a restaurant open back up is to do exactly what you're talking about, Liz. The problem is, even here in Colorado, if you did that, that still doesn't allow that restaurant to run at 80, 90% capacity. They still are limited to that 25% capacity.
Yeah, our governor would not let you would not let you seat that.
No variance there.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, I don't know exactly where our governor has set regulations on this. It's hard for me to believe that he's been particularly hands-off. But I do think that there is a way that restaurants are able to make this function. And then I also look at the fact that, I mean, my kid is back in school in person. Again, plexiglass. They share a table, two kids to a table. There's a plexiglass divider. They wear masks. They get to have mask breaks outside. You know, his school thankfully does have a lot of outdoor area, so they're able to do a lot of teaching and assembly and stuff like that outside.
So it gets freezing cold in Connecticut.
Yeah, but you know,
do they have the kids? Do they have the kids walk around in? Do they have the kids walk around in like those big gerbil balls?
No, but that actually sounds kind of awesome. I mean, I feel like that would be fun, right? Every time I see those at a county fair,
I love those.
No. I kind of want to try one of those.
You know, and I back up a little bit, though, Liz, because, you know, here in Colorado, one of the ways some of the restaurants have gotten around some of this is they were able to have outdoor seating and things like that. Well, now, you know, we just had a snowstorm.
That's tougher.
You know, we've got right now a high of 40, well, it's 41 degrees outside right now. Didn't get much above that today. You're not going
to
go this evening and have dinner outside when it's 41 degrees. People aren't going to, you know, not going to do that. You're not going to be able to accomplish that. So I go back to what I said earlier in that last segment that you heard. A restaurant at 25% capacity is not going to make it.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I think it probably needs to be at a minimum something more in the range of 50. But then also, as you say, if the restaurant has additional space where it can allow overflow capacity, use that, right? I think that people can get creative about this. But, you know, on the
we've gone as far, real quick, I want to add one more thing to that. We've gone as far in this state to where we've got churches with auditoriums in this state that literally can seat, you know, 5,000, 6,000 people that were still limited to 50 people attending a church service when they've got a capacity in that sanctuary of 5,000 people. They were still limited to 50. That's how crazy our stuff is here.
And again, that can be managed. I mean, my church, it's weird that you have to do a booking to go to church,
right?
Like, it's strange. You're doing a booking as if you're, like, booking the luxury seats that you used to go to at the cinema or whatever.
Right.
If you do that, they're able to ensure that they hit numbers really well and that they're not going to end up with, you know, excess capacity. Although, frankly, I don't think most churches in this country have an excess capacity problem. We're not nearly as religious a nation as we used to be.
Good point.
But still, you know, that can be managed. And, you know, I look at my kids' school and they just, you know, they prevent the classes from commingling. And so that ensures a relatively tight bubble. You know, it's like, whatever, 15, 20 kids. I also look at our gym and how that's reopened, because it did reopen.
And ours are closing again, by the way.
Yeah, but, you know, ours reopened and they were able to run summer camp. I mean, okay, yes, they didn't want the kids in soccer camp doing a full-on scrimmage, because obviously if somebody had it, you're not running around with your mask on.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess my point there, though, Liz, and even the numbers show it,
that
if kids contact it and even spread it around to each other, as long as they're careful not to spread it to grandma or grandpa, I don't care what kid gets it. It's a non-issue to me.
And that's probably fair. I think in our community, I do notice a lot of grandparents that oftentimes do pick their kids up.
And that would be a different situation, of course.
Yeah, so obviously we think about it a little differently there. But, yeah, I mean, camp was open. There were some modifications. Like I say, it was less scrimmaging.
We didn't have any of that.
It was a lot more skills training and soccer. Well, right. And so, you know, so I'm sort of looking at this going, you know, I understand early on that we were going to amass a lot of deaths up front while we were trying to figure out how to deal with this, like maybe putting people on ventilators the second they started having breathing problems wasn't smart. Maybe that was a bad move. I understand that people were very wary about what we do with reopening the economy, but I just kind of look around me and I'm like, well, it's not 100% normal, but it's probably like, I don't know, 85% normal.
You're way better than us.
Well, way better.
Yeah, you are far better than us.
Yeah, I mean, every morning I go to the gym for an hour and a half, and the rule is you've got to scan your phone twice so that if there's any outbreak, they can do contact tracing. And before you get on any equipment, you have to sanitize it yourself. And when you get off it, you have to sanitize it. And then
that's no biggie.
You get off it, Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, who doesn't do that anyway? I'm like, right. Who's the gross right. person at the gym that leaves their sweat all over, like, the weights machines,
Liz,
right? I mean,
Liz,
so
quick question.
It's
quick
common sense.
Quick question here. Do you have to, like, wear a mask while you're running on a pre-core life step?
So actually, it's interesting. I use the pre-core. No, on the pre-core, they have them. This is the other thing. If you have enough space, they have them arranged so they're 12 feet apart. So since they're 12 feet apart, no. You can get on it without your mask.
Gotcha.
Now, if you're on the machines that are a foot apart, they do have a selection of treadmills that are only 1 foot apart. If you're on those, you have to wear your mask.
Gotcha.
But, you know, to be honest, the people who are using those, like when I'm on those, it's just me trying to like bump up to my full 10,000 steps a day by doing a little walking at the end of the workout. And then, yeah, with weights, you're supposed to leave your mask on. But candidly, I mean, nobody's like just sitting there lifting for 30 minutes consistently. I mean, you do some reps, you take a break. If you're drinking, which lots of people are during the gym,
mask is down.
You're not putting your mask on.
Right.
So, you know, I think there are ways to do it that are
gotcha.
Common sense. But, you know, again, if we did have an outbreak because they are doing all of that contact tracing and because you reserve your slot in the gym so they can make sure that they're, you know, on target with their numbers.
Gotcha.
If there were to be an outbreak, you would be notified and we would know and it would be kept under control. But also that enables them to have this be open and functional. And I'm just sort of amazed. Like it's nice living in this environment, but I look around the rest of the country and it's incredibly frustrating that we're not really able to travel anywhere else because the rest of the country is handling it all so badly that it means that if we did that and then came back, my kid would be forced to do 14 days of distance learning because they would want us to quarantine and that's how they would enforce it. And I just look at it and I'm like, you know, there's got to be a better way to do this. And I just wish people would do a little bit more copycatting. I think actually, weirdly, Massachusetts is doing pretty well in it too. And when we were in Maine earlier this year, they seemed to be handling it quite well. They didn't have, you know, obviously they have a ton of outdoor activities up there.
Mm-hmm.
Their rule was you come in from out of state, we want you to quarantine for 14 days unless you can show us that you've had a negative COVID test within 72 hours of entering or 72
See,
hours
and I,
before
you
entering.
And I'm the opposite of you. I'm saying if you're old or you have a immune problem, a disorder, something along those lines, and if you're a high-risk individual, protect yourself and let the rest of us live our lives.
Well,
that's where I'm coming
sure,
from.
But here's what I think is fascinating about what Maine did is Maine said, you know, if you're a tourist and you want to come in and you're coming from a hot spot area, get a test first, show us that you're negative, and then you can do what you want. And if you don't have the test and you want to come in anyway, okay, you're supposed to quarantine. But the way that Maine defined quarantine, if you're doing any sort of exercise outdoors, that doesn't count as quarantining. So guess what? You can go into Acadia National Park, which was open in June, and go hiking all day. And that's within the bounds of quarantine.
Hmm.
That's what counts as quarantine. So I'm just saying there are ways to do this that I think are far more rational. But yeah, I mean, look, comorbidity is an issue. Clearly, we have a deeply unhealthy population.
Yep.
And one thing that I'm hoping comes out of this, really, not that I'm the most healthy person in the world. I packed on some weight with the height of COVID too. I think we've all been there. But I'm really hoping that one thing that comes out of this is everybody goes, wow, it turns out that if I'm obese, I'm at massively greater risk of dying if something like this happens. Maybe losing 30 pounds wouldn't be a bad idea.
Right.
And maybe we get
right.
healthier as a
well
country.
Said.
Because yep. at the end of the day, you know, maybe you die from this, maybe you don't die from this, but why put yourself at enhanced risk? I mean, if we have a bad flu season, why put yourself at enhanced
yeah, and,
risk?
And everything
that,
you just said,
right?
Liz, applies to a lot of other diseases and illnesses as well. So why put yourself in that situation in the first place?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, I've yep. always had respiratory problems. I had two bouts of pneumonia in 1 year. And so when people talk about, oh, well, you know, wearing masks, I'm like, well, if I get on a busy airplane, I always put a mask on because I know I'm
right.
at risk of catching whatever.
Right.
I mean, a lot of this is just really
common sense.
Common sense.
That's exactly right.
But people just can't seem to get their heads
nope,
around it.
They sure can't.
And it's really frustrating.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. We'll talk next week and there'll be election, as we know, a big one coming. And we'll talk then. How's that sound?
It sounds like we're going to have a lot to talk
yes,
about.
Yes, we will.
I would imagine.
Yes, we will. Liz, thanks as always.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Plenty to come.
All right.
Thank
take
you.
Care. You bet. Enjoy. Have a great night, Liz Mayer. We'll come right back. Novus Auto Glass, folks, is coming up next. See clearly in the dark, especially. They can help you out with headlights. They can help you out with your windshield, a crack, chip, you name it. They can help. That's what they're there for. It's Novus, N-O-V-U-S. That's Latin for innovate. RushToReason.com/Novus for a location near you.
Novus means innovate. As the original inventors of windshield repair, Novus Auto Glass continues to stay on the cutting edge of glass repair and replacement. Any vehicle with lane departure technology needs to be recalibrated after a windshield replacement because of the cameras and sensors mounted to your windshield. All of those sensors need to be carefully realigned so your vehicle provides accurate positioning information. And each vehicle manufacturer is different. Most auto glass facilities, even the big names, do not have the right tools and equipment to calibrate your windshield. They can only replace the glass, not recalibrate the sensors. Because Novus Auto Glass constantly upgrades to keep pace with the changing industry, the majority of their locations now offer calibrations. Get your windshield replaced and the sensors recalibrated with the inventors of windshield repair. Find Novus Auto Glass at rushtoreason.com/Novus. N-O-V-U-S.
All right, here we go. Extreme Auto Repair. We're talking about deep pockets for restaurants, by
yes.
the way.
Sorry about that, folks.
No, you're fine. What to do to help you with not having deep pockets is go to Extreme Auto Repair and get tires at a cost and at a $75 discount because that's the rebate right now on Cooper Tires. KLZradio.com, 303-841-1071.
The team at Extreme Auto Repair will help you prioritize your vehicle's maintenance. You know there's a lot more to maintaining your vehicle than just getting your oil changed, but it seems like every time you go to the shop, the mechanic finds 10 things wrong, and all of them need to be fixed immediately, or there could be dire consequences. In your experience, very few auto repair shops will level with you about what's most important to fix right now and what could wait until later. The team of ASE-certified technicians at Extreme Auto Repair do their best to inform you about your vehicle's factory-recommended maintenance without using scare tactics to pressure you into spending more money. They have a reputation among their many repeat customers of only fixing what needs to be fixed, not more. At Extreme Auto Repair in Parker, you can trust their team to tell you what needs to be fixed when. Find out what your vehicle really needs at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
GIA Insurance shops the entire market for the right plan at the best price. So they must be more expensive, right? Wrong! All of that valuable market research comes as a free benefit to you from Paul and his team at GIA. Get more without paying more.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy, and after all these years and hundreds of radio spots on many stations, I still find it hard to convey how I feel about our dealership in Fort Lupton without it being just another 60 seconds of car dealer shtick and hype. Let's face it, there are only so many glowing things I could say about Purefoy Chevrolet, but at the end of the day, does the ad sell cars and trucks? I want and need your business, especially if you're in the market for a new Chevrolet or a decent used vehicle. And really, all I have to offer is a good buying experience that I know is sincerely appreciated and valued by our customers. 60 years in business has taught us many things that makes the difference in doing business. We're not perfect by any means, but we're honest about what we do and have the ethics and integrity to back it up. We have all the same factory rebates and incentives that all the other dealers have to offer, plain and simple. So do yourself a favor. If you're in the market for a vehicle or need reliable service, please give us a try. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton or on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
By the way, Purefoy Chevrolet, great place to buy a car. I say it all the time. Just go to purefoychevrolet.com and you won't find a better bunch of guys and gals both to help you when it comes to buying a newer used car. So let's talk about these restaurants for about a minute.
Yeah, what we were talking about is you said they only the ones that have really deep pockets can weather this storm.
Correct.
And I'm saying, John, how many have pockets that deep?
Not many. I mean, the only ones, and I explained this during the break, you guys couldn't listen, so I'll repeat myself what I told Andy. The only ones that will be able to survive something along these lines is somebody that's got a national chain. They do have deep pockets. They've got the ability to look at an underperforming store in, say, Denver and say, yep, we got to close that one down. We can't make it. So they close it down. They lay everybody off. They might continue to pay the lease, if depending upon how long that lease is. And at some point down the road, if they decide they want to open it back up, they may very well open it up at that point in time. But they've got enough, you know, money, enough pockets, if you would, to handle that sort of a loss, if you would, because they've got enough other stores that are performing nationwide to make that work. They won't keep a store underperforming for very long. I mean, they'll run that for maybe a month, maybe two at best, and at that point they'll say, yeah, we're out of here. We can't do this anymore.
Well, I got news for all those restaurants, because you're right, a lot of them are run by liberals.
Mm-hmm.
It's you and your dark winter voters who did this to you.
That's right.
We didn't. No, we like you. We want you to survive.
We want you to stay in business.
Yes.
We want you to open up.
We want people who are at risk be sheltered, and the rest of us coming to your store and spending money.
Go about our daily duties and spend money at your place.
Right.
Well said. All right, let's do this. We'll get out of here. If you missed the first hour, please catch it next. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Myself, Andy, Charlie. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush. Enjoy the night, folks. KLZ 560.